Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. So today's topic is mindset, and we're going to discuss the injury recovery process. And I'm actually just going to kind of give two tips. Five steps, which isn't even close to two tips. So we're going to go over five steps to a new you. So this would be for someone who's going through kind of an injury recovery process, where they actually had a full-on injury, had to have it diagnosed, kind of got through the initial recovery of it and are now rebuilding, or someone who could tell an injury was maybe coming. They maybe have some nagging body parts and they kind of want to kind of rebuild before they have a big serious injury. So I have talked about this in past podcasts off and on here and there, where when I was born, I had kind of a throat issue that I had to have surgery for when I was a real, like an infant. And as I've gotten older, they even told my parents that they didn't really know how the surgery would kind of like last or how it would kind of grow with me. And it led to some sleeping issues. So I sleep only on my stomach with my head to the right. That's the only way I can breathe, actually, in a lying position. And it affects my sleep quality, and I don't have that great of sleep quality. However, everybody has something, so I don't whine and complain about it. However, it has led to limited recovery. So I don't have the best of recovery, but I do have a ridiculous level of stubbornness that I got from my parents, so thank you, Mom and Dad, to where I still like to train all the time. So over the last 20 years of lifting weights, I have come across some injuries that have been associated with poor sleep quality and also just kind of dehydration and just bad luck. So when I started lifting weights, I was 16 years old and I was about 165 pounds, but really, really, really chubby. Like you could grab rolls of fat on me. So I think I was around like 5'10", 165 with who knows how much fat on me, but it was pretty significant. There was no muscle tone anywhere. So if I had to take a big fat guess, I'd say I might've been a 125 pound kid. You know, like if I was lean, you know, at 5'10", and that's not very big. So I started lifting weights, and when I was 18, I was still 165, 6 foot tall, and still kind of chubby because I went through a couple years of anorexia where I didn't really eat. I ate one meal a day, and I tried to burn off as many calories as I thought that meal had. So I didn't have the best of health in regards to the way I started lifting weights, and it did lead to injuries. The reason why I want to specify what those were from is because I have injured myself by just being kind of young and dumb and kind of muscling through exercises rather than really knowing technique. At the time, I thought I knew technique, but now looking back, I realized I didn't. But most of my injuries are related to those sleeping issues and nutritional kind of issues I went through when I was younger. So I've had in 20 years, unfortunately, I've had 17 muscle tears. Torn 6 ligaments, and I even broke my collarbone while I was bench pressing. So that tells you how my body has not really, I didn't get the strength of body that I got in the strength of stubbornness. So I've actually just unloaded a bench press, did 3 reps, and in the middle of the first one, my collarbone broke on the way down. It felt really unstable and kind of shaky, but I tried to finish it anyhow. So I ended up getting 2 more reps with a broken collarbone, racked it, looked at my training partner and said, well, that felt weird. So then had to go get metal plates put in, and kind of that put a little hiatus kind of in my normal training. So that was a bummer of a recovery process. But in 20 years, I've never missed more than 7 consecutive days of training, and I've only done that twice. And both were related to illness. And one was really high degree of inflammation to the point where I was getting sick and throwing up because everything hurt so bad. And I had to take a week off. The other time was due to kind of depression and more like mental illness. So that was definitely a kind of new learning lesson for me on how mental pain is. Oh my gosh. In my opinion, mental pain is far, far, far worse than physical pain. I've been through a lot of physical pain, and I know other people have been through more, but so I'm not really comparing here. But out of the physical pain I've ever experienced, the mental pain I've experienced with anxiety and depression and stuff like that from when that flared up in my life, that was significantly worse, way, way, way worse. So I'll take a broken collarbone over a broken heart any day. So But that's a little bit of my story. The reason why I wanted to tell you that was when I'm talking about the steps of getting through recovery after an injury, I know what I'm talking about. So I've had 17 muscle tears, 6 torn ligaments, and I even broke a collarbone. And the very next day after the collarbone surgery, I was walking on a treadmill for an hour and I was doing 1,000 leg extensions because I wanted to be in the gym and I wanted to move toward my goal. So I haven't backed off. I've worked through all of the injuries myself. The only thing I've ever had surgery for was the collarbone, getting metal plates put in. The other things I've fixed and rehabbed myself. And that includes like a slip disc. You can look at the x-ray of my discs on my back and you can see the one that sticks out to the left in my lumbar, in my lower back. So that has been an issue that I worked through. I tore my QL, my groin muscle, my hamstring, my quadricep, tore my pecs on each side, tore my bicep, even had like a meniscus tear, had ridiculously severe plantar fasciitis that I went through. So just lots of changes. And part of that is because of those issues I discussed in regards to sleep and whatnot. But also, when I started lifting weights, I was 165 pounds. 2 years into it, at 18, when I graduated high school, I was still 165. Right now, I'm 270 pounds, and I'm leaner than I was at 165. So I've added 100 pounds of like lean mass to myself in 20 years of lifting weights. I've also taken my squat, which after 2 years of lifting was not even 315. I probably could only squat maybe 275 to parallel, and I've taken it to a 600 pound squat in sleeves. I took my bench from 225 at 18 up to 430, and that's even with the broken collarbone, even with tearing my pecs, even with everything else that's happened. And I took my deadlift from 315 when I was about 20 years old to 700 pounds. So, in spite of the 17 muscle tears, 6 ligament tears, and the broken collarbone, I have gotten 100 pounds of mass added to myself. So I'm 100 pounds heavier and leaner than I was. And I've more than doubled my previous strength when I was 18 years old. So I do know what it's like to recover, like to have to go through the process of injury recovery. But I also know what it's like to come back and be even stronger in the long run. So I've come through all of my injuries and I'm a leaner, stronger human being and much stronger mentally and emotionally. But the reason why I went through all that was to tell you the information I'm about to share, I know from like kind of formal education. So I have like health and phys ed certification, master's in nutrition. I taught at a local university for 7.5 years. I have ACSM personal training certification. So I have the formal education, but I also have the experiential education. So I've been through this myself. I've worked with over 2,000 clients in 18 years of being a personal trainer. And so I can tell you all this stuff and you can be pretty confident that's going to work. And the best thing is anything I tell you, I can back up with somebody even smarter than me who has a book or a YouTube video or some kind of podcast or something that'll support what I'm saying. So I cherry-picked from the smartest minds through the last 18 years of being a trainer and the last 20 years of my lifting, and I'm going to give that to you here in a 20-ish minute podcast. So you're welcome. But hopefully it helps, so don't get too far ahead of myself. Just give this stuff a try if you're going through kind of a rehab process, and I do promise it'll help. It's helped everyone I've helped so far, and it helped me as well. So here are 5 steps to a new you. How can you not only get back to where you were, but get better than where you were? Cool. So the first thing we're going to look at is find the smallest movement. So when you're wanting to rehab an injury, whether it's connective tissue or muscular damage, you want to find a way to get blood flow into the area to bring in new proteins and kind of healing elements of the blood. You also want to have some form of creating a stress load into that tissue. Again, whether it's muscle or connective tissue, you have to give the body a reason to build that back up. So you have to provide some type of stress stimulus that the body feels, oh man, if he's going to keep or she's going to keep using that, I need to rehab that, I need to fix that, I need to make that strong. So our body responds to stress. If we put stress on it, that is a manageable level of stress. It'll adapt and become better. So, the idea of finding a way to put resistance-loaded, weight-loaded stress into those tissues is the safest way to do it is to find the smallest movement possible. So if I want to try to rehab a torn hamstring, it's probably not the best choice to do a barbell squat or a heavy conventional deadlift. That's going to be pretty damn aggressive, especially when I'm just starting my rebuilding phase. Now, I might want a squat and deadlift later in my recovery phase, and we'll talk about that here in a second. But right away, you want to try to find the smallest movement. What is the movement that has the lightest weight load that can still place stress into the tissues that I need to stress in order for them, my body to adapt and make them stronger? So when I remember when I tore a hamstring, I tore my upper connector of my right hamstring. That thing sucked and it was super painful. I was doing banded lying straight leg hamstring contractions. So I would actually lie on the floor in front of our squat rack. I'd have one end of a band, like a 42-inch long, like powerlifting type band that you use for like bench pressing and squats and deadlifts and stuff. I would have one end looped around the squat rack, about say 5 feet or 6 feet up off the floor. I would be laying with my head next to that upright, and my legs would be pointing away from it. I would take that band and put it under my heel of my right foot, because that's the hamstring I hurt, and I would have my leg up in the air towards the ceiling, and then I would try to drive my heel down into the ground, keeping my leg straight, focusing on contracting the upper hamstring connection area. That exercise was painful as hell. Holy freaking crap. But it was manageable in terms of weight load. It was totally safe on the tissue I was trying to heal. But it gave my body enough of a stress that it adapted to it, and it rebuilt itself, like I said, to allow me to get to a 700-pound deadlift. Then I had another injury where I tore my groin muscle. That sucked. I did that before, about a week before a powerlifting meet. I still went to the powerlifting meet. I still squatted 600 in the meet. But holy crap, did that hurt. And I had to do some big rehab work after that. So I remember the exercise that I got back to doing once I could kind of do loaded movement, once I addressed the tissue with inflammation and kind of other type of like opening up exercises and whatnot. The first loaded movement I did was bodyweight side squats on a slide board. So I had an old client of mine at the time who had an old treadmill that wasn't working. So they donated it to the gym. I tore off everything except for the baseboard of what the belt runs around. And the baseboard of a treadmill is very smooth. So I put a cloth down on that, and I use that as a slide board. So it's a way that I could have 1 foot off the board, 1 foot on the board to help with balance, but that foot slid up and down the board, and it kind of allowed me not to have weight load into that foot, but allowed me to have balance control. So I did side squats, like a single leg squat where the foot that slid out to the side. That was very stressful on my groin. I remember I first started, I was doing like maybe 10 sets of three. I eventually worked my way to 3 sets of 10. Then I started loading it with like a goblet hold of a dumbbell, and that started rebuilding my groin. I had another exercise, another injury where I tore my QL muscle, quadratus lumborum, and that is a lower back muscle, kind of like looks like a piece of paper between your bottom rib and the top of your hip. And I tore that sucker doing some kind of squat. I forget exactly what I was doing. It was a deadlift. That was when I slipped my disc and I hurt my back doing a deadlift. That was awful. That hurt like hell. And it was a lot of problems when I was sitting. I had to figure out a way to open that muscle up, but then also strengthen it to keep it open. So it had gotten tight protectively, then it got tight due to scar tissue. So I had to continue to open it up and strengthen it, open up and strengthen it, so that way it wouldn't stay tight and limit my hip mobility. So I've since, like I said, have fixed that, and I have squatted 600 pounds in sleeves since that injury. So you can definitely be strong if you focus on this stuff and do it correctly. So I remember I found an exercise called QL raises. So you can actually search for that. I made a video about it on our Brutal Iron Gym YouTube channel. It's called QL Raises. You can just do that. Brutal Iron Gym QL Raises. And it's a weird little exercise you can do on reverse hyperextension bench. And it helps you kind of lift your hips up. And it forces a stretch and contraction effort of the QL. And that helped me get blood flow into it, helped me get a stress load into it that eventually allowed it to strengthen. So that's the idea of what you want to do with your rehab movements, is find the smallest movement that creates stress. That'll allow you to create safe stress. But you do need stress. You do need to force the body into making that muscle and that connective tissue, whatever the injury is, making it repaired, making it stronger, because it knows you're still going to use it. So you must use it to give it that sensation. The next thing we have is to rebuild your base. So make sure when you get back into kind of regular style training, or back into resistance-based training after an injury, that you take time to do all the small movements and rebuild your base. Don't try to work back to one rep max of squats. Okay, do some lunges, do some bodyweight squats, do some leg press, do some leg extension, leg curl, adductor, abductor. You know, do some things that will help work all the muscles involved in a squat, not just squat. So I remember at one time when I had my back injury, was kind of the worst it was, I had daily back pain every single day for 14 months. And one of the things that helped me get over it was I changed all of my clients to where I wouldn't train anybody until 10 a.m. And this is when, at that time, I was training 50 hours in person a week, standing face to face with somebody 50 hours a week, and still trying to train on a regular basis was pretty aggressive. Due to the fact that I was still running programming, still cleaning the gym, still doing accounting work, all the other odds and ends. So I pushed all my clients to 10 a.m. And I said, well, if I go out of business, what am I going to do? At least I can gain my health and be out of business. Rather than trying to stay in health, stay in business and be ridiculously unhealthy. So I took 30 days and I did exercises from 7:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. And then I started training clients. It was 30 days in a row, at 2 hours a day, and nothing was more than body weight. Everything was banded or body weight exercises, stretches, and kind of functional movement drills. That I did that for 60, so that's 60 hours in 30 days where I didn't touch a barbell. And that helped me rebuild my base and focus on core strength and some other kind of supporting muscles related to the injuries I had at that time. So you need to take time to rebuild your base. Limit how many max effort compound movements you perform. And instead, focus on more isolative, kind of lower weight load challenging movements to rebuild your base. Great analogy of this is if you think of a pyramid can only be as tall as the base is. Okay, that's a stable pyramid. So you have to build a wide base if you want to have a tall peak. So if you want to rebuild to a brand new PR on squat, bench, or deadlift or something like that, you have to have a wide base. Don't focus on the damn peak first. Focus on the base. Okay? And one of the great ways to rebuild a base is to use the information in podcast 30 titled Muscle Cardio, How to Lose Fat Without Losing Muscle. You can just eat appropriately based on whatever your goals are, so you don't have to necessarily lose weight. But it talks about using resistance training circuits, and you can use a lot of small muscle movements and rebuild your base very efficiently, very fast, and actually have some fun doing some variety and kind of changing it up every now and then. So that would be tip number two, is rebuild your base. Tip number three is train the supporting muscles. So if you hurt your quadricep, don't just train your quadricep. Train your glute, train your hamstring, train your calf, train everything above and below the thing that you hurt. So one time I tore something in my meniscus in my right knee, didn't really care what it was because whatever it was, I was going to fix it anyhow. So I went and got confirmed with a physical therapist that it was a meniscus tear, but I didn't do the sonogram or scan or any of that shit because whatever was torn, I was going to work through it anyhow. So I didn't want to spend $1,000 and have them tell me what I already knew. My knee was messed up. I know my knee's messed up because it hurts. So I went through that. It was 6 months. But I rebuilt it, and again, that was part of my rebuilding process up to a 600-pound squat. So today, nowadays, like a couple years later, my knee's totally fine, never bothers me, clicks every now and then, but it's totally fine and it doesn't hurt anything. So what was important for me to rebuild my knee was I actually worked on my core strength, my glute strength, my hamstring, my quads, and my calf. and involved in the calf movement was ankle support and ankle balance. What I found was if I managed the health of my ankle joint and of my hip joint, the joints above and below the injury got better and better and better. If you focus only on the injury, recognize that that's not the only thing involved in movement. We use hundreds of muscles when we move. So you need to be, well, that's exaggeration, obviously. But we use a lot more than the single muscle when we do daily activities. So it's very, very, very important that you focus on more than just the single muscle you hurt and focus on the muscles that get involved with that muscle as well with movement. So for example, if you have a pec tear or strain, it's a good idea to train your upper bicep, your front delt, and your lats. Those are the supporting muscles of the chest. And there's pec minor and pec major, and there's some other odds and ends of kind of nuances like serratus anterior and stuff. But in general, we want to focus on the muscle that I've hurt or the joint that I've hurt. What is the stuff around it that braces it and or moves with it? And let me train those as well. The fourth thing we have is go heavy and go light. What the hell am I talking about? So an example of this is when I first hurt my lower back, I did a lot of lightweight rehab stuff and mistakenly for about 12 to 16 weeks really didn't squat or deadlift heavy or really pick up anything heavy. So when I was healthy enough in my back to start squatting again, everything felt heavy as hell. So it was a really kind of like a hard rebuild because I totally lost my top end. So he talked about rebuilding the base of a pyramid, but you can also maintain the peak. So one of the variations I've done since then with tons of clients, and I've done with myself to further my own back development and health development, was we would do heavy squat unracks. So they would have a bar loaded in the rack. They would just stand up an inch with it and then put it back down. They don't even have to walk with it. But standing up with that weight on their back, it fired off a lot of core muscles, a lot of supportive muscles around their discs of their back. Obviously, this would be like more along the lines of once you're into the rehab program already. So maybe you need to have like your initial healing phase after an injury, then maybe 4 to 6 weeks into like loaded rehab training, you may then start to add like kind of like heavy stuff. But you want to add it in as quickly as safely possible because it helps you rebuild your peak before you can get back to those heavy compound movements. So I remember one time after my groin tear when I was rebuilding my squat, I started doing yoke walks. So I wanted to get up to a 600 pound squat at the time, so I started walking around with 600 pounds on my back. I couldn't squat 600 pounds, but I could pick it up, I could walk around with it, I could get used to what it felt like. So that's what helped me a lot when I was rebuilding, was figuring out ways that I could safely maximally load myself to maintain my peak as much as possible, rather than focusing on the base so much that the peak dropped off. So you want to make sure you still go heavy in safe ways while you're doing your light work to rehab the tissues and things that were injured and annoyed. So a podcast that can be helpful towards that of how to pick accessory movements that are similar to squat, bench, and deadlift, but maybe will help you still move something around while you're working on an injury, is podcast number 350, titled Accessories and Strength Progressions for Squat, Bench, and Deadlift. So you check that out. So the last tip we have is technique, 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 technique. So focus on your dang technique. Most often people get injuries because of improper technique. Maybe they got in bad technique because they were fatigued. Maybe they got in bad technique because they weren't fully recovered from the last workout. There are many reasons other than just lack of the ability to maintain proper technique or to understand proper technique that still might cause them to kind of break down a technique. However, technique is the most important thing. So technique will always be the limiting factor of how great you can be when it comes to physical exercise and physical activities. So podcast number 427, titled Technique is the Limiting Factor, imagine that, pretty convenient, is a great resource to understand more about why technique is so damn important. And then podcast 217, titled Why Changing Technique Sometimes Makes You Weaker, will help you understand that if you're going to improve your technique, sometimes you have to back down in the weight that you use, relearn a new, safer way to do a movement, and then rebuild from there. So sometimes when you change technique, you don't automatically get stronger. you actually feel weaker at first because you're using a different muscular pathway and or different kind of percentages of muscles. You have to rebuild in that pathway to eventually be your strongest, but also your safest. So there's tons and tons and tons of examples, and you can even hear more about it in that podcast, of that being the normal protocol, totally fine, totally reasonable, and absolutely unavoidable. So if you're changing your technique and it makes you a little bit weaker, don't freak out right away. You still might have the right process going on. Listen to podcast 217 and see if it's okay. Now, that's all the information I want to share, since it's already getting kind of long in the podcast. But I also want to throw out an offer. Is it is hard to know what you don't know. So if you think your technique is good, but you're not sure, or you've never had somebody really analyze it or take a serious look at it, send a video to us through our Instagram channel on Brutal. It's just titled Brutal Iron Gym. Send a video of you doing like a lift that you want to analyze, whether it's a squat, bench, deadlift, overhead press, anything else. Well, no matter what it is, even if it's Olympic lift, whatever. Just send us a video and we'll analyze it for you. We'll give you some tips, some thoughts, and kind of give you an idea of what to focus on and where to start. Okay? Now, we're going to do that for free in hopes that maybe you'll kind of, you know, pay for us to do a program for you, but you don't have to, and it's fun to just give back to people. And if you've invested the last 25 minutes and 51 seconds into this podcast, I want to make sure you get the most benefit out of it. I truly appreciate the people that listen to these podcasts. It's amazing. It's wonderful. It's such a blessing to be able to share information that I believe can help other people live healthier and happier lives. So if you're listening to us and you want a healthier, happier life, I want to make sure we do that for you. So send us a video of anything you want to analyze to our Instagram channel, and I promise we'll take a look at it and get you back an answer. Cool. Okay, so hopefully this was helpful. If you're going through a rehab injury recovery process, don't freak out. Don't beat yourself up too much, okay? You may have kind of like a bump in the road right now, but there's nothing that can hold you back. So like I said, in the last 20 years of lifting, I've added over 100 pounds of lean mass to myself. And I've doubled my strength. Even though I had 17 muscle tears, 6 ligament tears, and even broke my collarbone while bench pressing. So you can do it too. Okay, so if you need any help, anything at all, please reach out. We are here. We want to support you, and we appreciate you. Cool. Okay, if you like the podcast, please share it with family and friends. The more people we help, the happier the world will be. Also, if you like this information, you can find more from us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, Brutal Iron Gym. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we'd love to hear from you. The podcast is for you, so we want to know what you want to learn about. And you can tell us at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.